Morning, Haven Church. So it was pretty cool to worship from Utah last week. It was it wasn't quite as good as being here, you know, but it was still better not being anywhere. I just love the fact that we can do that today and we can worship online. So welcome everybody here. Welcome all you folks online watching from home. The one part last week I loved, if you guys were here last week, was the part when, you know, I know you guys love Jack singing and he loves, you know, being a little diva up here doing the. I really want to do a little, you know, If I Was a Rich Man, but he didn't get to that one too much. But the part when he said, you know, do you love me? And I thought that was just one of those things that made me think hard about, like, how much do I love God above other things? How much do I, you know, love the idea of church, love the idea of serving, but don't love the idea of being in love with God, our Creator? I think that was a pretty important, you know, it's not like you have to walk around being, like, in love, you know, like walking around just being in, like, birds around our heads, you know, just always think about, you know, are we putting things above above others, and God is just like the last thing on our mind at the end of the day. So let's open up in prayer this morning. Lord God, you know, we just want to come to you with an open heart this morning. We just want to, you know, put those things that are in our lives that are just taking precedence, you know, whether it's our spouse, our job, you know, we you know, sometimes we just love the idea of being married, but we don't love the being married too. We may just, you know, love the idea of our church, but we don't love the church itself. So just open our heart to being, you know, more open to what you're calling us for, Lord. Just in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand on up. We're going to keep this attitude of acoustic worship. I know Keith and Becky were great last week, but, you know, so we're gonna try and do it justice. You know, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Every blessing to my heart. praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, you sing.
Forever,
for the life in reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever, God is faithful.
God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever. From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Oh, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever.
All right, repeat it.
His love endures forever.
Sing it out.
His love endures forever.
His love endures forever.
His love endures forever.
His love endures forever.
More
time, church, roll out.
His love endures forever.
His love endures forever.
Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever you are faithful. Forever you are strong. Forever you are with us. Forever, yeah. Forever you are faithful. Forever you are strong. Forever you are with us. Forever. Forever. His love endures forever. And ever, and ever. Singing how great are you, Lord.
Sing it out.
Great.
Breath in our lungs, so we breathe.
it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Lift it up. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
We just want to thank you for your presence here to this day. Just as we sing, it's your breath in our lungs, and as we're doing this series on just fresh air, God, just breathe your Holy Spirit into us, empower us, just to revive us, give us that newness of life, that fullness of life that Jesus, that you promised. So God, through the rest of the service, just be ever present, and we'll give you praise in Christ's name. Everybody says, amen. All right, say hello to those around you, and then our children go to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry. All right, how you doing?
Good.
Good. There's one person good. Wes is good, so I'm glad everybody else is too. Anybody miss yesterday's weather already? Yeah. All right, it was good. How many got sunburned? Yes. It's coming. Yeah. Good to have that. So it was just a great couple days to tease us about what's coming, and then we're going to build an ark this week. It's going to rain a lot. So all that good stuff. So hopefully you got some things done out in the yard and just were able to get outside. We just want to welcome you all here today. We're glad that you're worshiping with us at Haven Community Church. That's what we want this place to be. That's what God called it to be, a safe place where you can just come and connect to God in the way that that you feel like you need to reach out to Him. You could be just a longtime person in the church, could be somebody who's never been in the church, but you just really want to connect to Jesus, and so you're here. You're here. I don't believe you're here by mistake, and we just want to thank you for being here. If you're a visitor today, hopefully you received a visitor card. If you need one of those, we'll get one to you. And we have a small gift. Thank you for being part of our worship today and just connecting with God. You can see that on May 20th, which will be here before we know it, we are going to have our Haven 101 class. We are in the midst of our second week of our series called Fresh Air. And it is based on a book by Pastor Chris Hodges. And it's really, really good. We still have books, right, Debbie? We still have books and guides if you want to connect with that. Also, there's several different small groups. I know one meets Sunday mornings, right? Isn't that correct, Debbie? You read Sunday mornings right over here. So if other days don't seem to work for you, Sunday's an option. You can just come a little bit earlier. We'll be love to have you connect to one of our church-wide groups that we're going to be in for the next several weeks. All right. Paris Foundation is today and May 20th. We're getting ready for May 20th as well. How are we doing, Mike? We're good today, so also May 20th, if you want to connect already. I'm going to check to something else, and then we'll come back to the other. You have this Tuesday right here from 5 to 6 is a free Narcan training, so anybody who wants to be trained with Narcan, just show up, come here. You can also, I guess they can also RSVP. I think it's in there. I thought it said there, unless I'm thinking something else. But just go, yeah, just show up. You can go ahead and show up. So if you say, I wasn't planning, but you have time, that's a great opportunity to go ahead and do that. Also, there are sign-up sheets in the front of the, right there on clipboards for Christmas in April. And I know that Bob shared last week some of the things that we are going to do with that, and the sign-up sheets will go around. So if you're willing to sign up and would like to sign up for that, please go ahead and do so. There's also a clipboard somewhere that's going around for the community kitchen at Elkton Presbyterian Church on Friday, May 4th. So if you'd like to be interested in signing up and helping with that, that will be going around as well. And the other thing, you can see the chain around here. About how far are we now? Are we across the light or on this side of the light? Okay, so on this side of this light, we got a long way to go around and back. But this is some of the miles till Haiti, right? So we got a lot of miles to go. I still have to walk and swim so far. So any help that you can have for our group that's going there and to help contribute mostly to the projects that we're going to do down there when we are in Haiti, as many people are self-funded and also seek funding from donors and other to make our trip to our sister church in Haiti a reality. Okay? Any other things we have to touch on? I think we're good. All right, so let's go to our prayer list. Lisa asked for a prayer for a friend, Robin, who is having lung surgery on Wednesday. Emily asked for prayers for Suzanne Wilson. She's having foot surgery and healing from a concussion. Prayers for Rig Mullen, healing for his bronchitis. He's still struggling with that. Jim and Jen Lagallo, Jennifer Lagallo, praise Benjamin is starting a summer internship at Plumpton Park Zoo in June. Donna Wiggum asked for prayers for, for Debbie Chadwick's family. Okay, so we want to ask for God's will to be involved in the extended family there. Michelle has asked for prayers for her husband, Roger. He threw out his back yesterday. He's had lots of back issues, so we want to lift him up. And also prayer for young Ricky Wilson, who is a 17-year-old man who suffered a massive stroke last week, and we're praying for complete healing. We know God can. Jill asked for prayers for our father, Connie Cohen, who was with us here on Easter. He is back in the hospital with had a low blood count, and they are doing some procedures today to find out exactly where that bleeding is coming from. And our mother goes to Fox Chase on Tuesday. So lots of different things going on there. Do we have anyone else to add to the prayer list? Yeah, Chris.
Mike.
Go ahead.
My coworker lost his house in a fire in Rising Sun.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Chris's coworker lost his house in a fire in Rising Sun. Go ahead.
One of my dad's good friends just suddenly passed away.
Oh, wow. Okay. So pray for Dale Ross's friend who just suddenly passed away. Yes, Lisa. So the Jaddick family and Riley's diagnosis of leukemia at age six.
At age six. She's also just been diagnosed with diabetes, and so they're in need of blood.
Okay.
So I think she's in AI DuPont Hospital. There's a Facebook page for her called Team Riley.
Okay.
So if anyone can donate.
So Team Riley on Facebook, if you can help with some blood and some other stuff that they need there. All right? Any others? Yes, Natalie. Last week we had, there he is, right there. Okay, this little guy right here. Rachel's son and daughter last week after church picked up this little guy, and they were headed, and they were in a head-on collision. Natalie, they had a lot of broken things. She's gone through one surgery, needs another one. She's doing well. She is home. We're thankful. If you see the car, it's a miracle. Little guy here only had a little bruise on his cheek, so we thank God for watching over him, but we definitely want to go ahead, right? You know I'm talking about you. Yes, I am. So we just want to thank God for his angels protecting all those involved in that. What could have been a major tragedy. Okay, so we want to continue to lift them up in prayer. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Gracious God, we come before you today once again. Seems like we do this a lot in need of so many prayers and so many issues that are going on in the midst of our lives. And yet, God, you're always faithful. You're there to hear us, and you're there to act in your way. And so today I just want to start off by praying for the blessings that you're going to give through your tithe and offering. But I just really want to ask for your Holy Spirit to touch the lives of people that we lifted up. For Robin with surgery, for Suzanne Wilson with surgery, for Benjamin, who has a joy of starting an internship. For Rick Mullen, who's struggling with bronchitis. For the Chadwick family, as they're dealing with some issues in life that need your hand and your healing hand. And so for Roger, who's dealing with his own issues. For this little girl, Riley, who's just struggling. For Dale's friend. For Chris's friend, who lost his house and everything in it. For Ricky Wilson, a young man who, when we hear a stroke, it just does not make sense to us that should even happen. Yet thank you for having him in a family that loves you and that is seeking you in all circumstances. God, may this be an avenue for you to just be glorified all the more. And for my own parents who are dealing with the golden years of life and dealing with the ups and downs and struggles, that God, sometimes the struggles are physical. And for people who are dealing with all kinds of these illnesses and all kinds of things. But sometimes, God, the scars that are meant emotionally just seem to drag us down all the more. And so during this moment right now, God, we just ask that you heal everyone in your own way and that you just be your Holy Spirit presence. If anything, just bring peace and joy to their circumstance. We love you, God, and we just ask that for the rest of this time together, you will anoint us and to be your servants in this world, and that you'll go ahead, God, and just really touch us in a way that we can touch the world so that those who are hurting can find peace. No matter whether the circumstance changes or not fully, that they know they have perfect peace in the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Submission, all is at rest. Good morning. I'm reading from Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest."
Thank you. Doesn't that make you just want to go? Right? All right. So hopefully you do that and brush your teeth today. But all right. Welcome once again. We are in our second week of Fresh Air. And this week we're dealing with Catch Your Breath. Catch Your Breath. And I believe this is one of the most important kind of messages that we can kind of give, because this hits everybody in our fast-paced world, and particularly in our fast-paced existence. How many think that you like we kind of go a little fast in life and keep going? All right. Our theme verse for this series comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, and it's based off. And our whole series is based off of this book here, Fresh Air by Pastor Chris Hodges, who I really believe is an incredible pastor. He's just a pastor to other pastors. He is probably responsible for most of the modern church growth, and all he's doing is just serving God. He's just an awesome man. But it says this in this verse from Deuteronomy, because there's a choice. Remember last week we talked about the choice, and if you missed it last week, by all means, go ahead. We were glad to welcome our Facebook viewers. We had some glitches last week, but we got that back up there, and so many were able to watch that during the week. But our church online, we're just thrilled to have you with us, as well as those who are here. But this verse that we're going to touch on each time says there's a choice that we have to make. That we all have this kind of choice, and here's where it is. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, "This day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you that I have set before you two things, life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life." And that's what we are given in this world. We are to choose life. Now, people in the United States are very busy, aren't they? We'll talk a little bit about that today, but some of the modern statistics show this, that in a lifetime, you will eat out 14,411 times, including 1,811 trips to McDonald's. So that means you may not have the best, you know, quality food in your life, all right? You're going to spend 13 years and 4 months watching TV. You're going to spend 5 years waiting in line. Some of you feel that, you know, already, that you did that once. I love this one. You're going to spend, this one for me probably will be 2 years. You're going to spend 1 year looking for misplaced items. All right, so I think I've spent that looking for my keys in my lifetime. You're going to attend 35 weddings in your life, and you're going to drive about, let me see what does it say here, 600 and about 30,000 miles in your life. You feel like you're a little exhausted already? And there's just those kind of things. You know, we want to talk about that, because I think a lot of times we just run. We just run, we run, we run. So I want to talk today about busyness and about just taking some time to catch your breath. The verse that we're going to go to now comes from Daniel chapter 5. And I want to give you a little background history. This is from the Old Testament. And at the time, this was when the people of Israel were in exile, okay? So they were taken to Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, and there's several people, like Daniel was young, and he spent his entire life there. It's not until we get to the book of Nehemiah where we hear the return back to the Holy Land, to Israel, and other kinds of things. And they went through several different kings at this point. So this story occurs at a time where the king is Belshazzar, and he's having a party. He's having a big party, and all of a sudden, in the midst of this party, this hand comes out of nowhere. Anybody remember, like, the Addams Family? Okay? Like, the little hand that comes out, and it begins to write on the wall. Many, many tekel parson, or if you have another version, uparson. Okay? So you have this. So it writes on the wall. Nobody had a clue what it does, but if you want to mess up a party, have a hand just come out of nowhere and write something on the wall nobody knows. And that's what happened. So he had no clue what went on. So he called all his sorcerers and all his knowledgeable people and said, tell me. He even said, hey, if you tell me what's on the wall, what's written there and what it means, I'll make you third in my kingdom. I'll give you wealth and riches and power. And nobody could do it. I would have been making up something. It would have said, you are a really, really good guy. All right, you know, something like that. But I guess they didn't think about that because they didn't want to get killed. But anyway, so they're going through this, and his wife all of a sudden says, hey, wait a second. There's this guy, he's one of the Hebrew slaves, his name is Daniel, and he's kind of had a history of some of this. Let's see what he can do. So they bring Daniel out, he says, hey, I'll give you a third, you'll be third highest in all my kingdom, you'll be powerful, you'll have wealth, and do you know what it means? And Daniel goes, oh, I know what it means, but you don't have to give me any of that stuff. You don't have to give me any of that at all. So he gives him this interpretation. That's what brings us to this point here in this verse. And look what it says here. This is what the words mean. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought them to an end. In other words, what he's saying is, tick tock, your days are numbered. In other words, this is what's going to happen. And God tells us that as well. Our days are numbered. Look at the person next to you and say, your days are numbered. Doesn't that make you feel good? Have a good week. Okay? But that's one of the things that we don't recognize. We live life each day as if we have this eternity here. We act as if we are never going to have to face death until we have to face it. We act as that we go to bed tonight thinking that we're just going to wake up in the morning. We go to work and we get in our cars just thinking, hey, I'm going from point A to point B and I'll call you when I get there. We just exist in this mindset that we don't have our days numbered. But all of us have our days numbered. And then he adds this to it. And you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. All right, so what does that mean? All right, so I'm going to take you back to like when you were in middle school or high school science and where you would and math where you would put those things on the scales. Remember that? And you'd weigh them and they go back and forth and you kind of teeter them out to get those kind of things. This is how they depicted what worth was then, if things were worth and evened out back in the day. So here they are, and he says basically, your life has been weighed on the scales. And you're deficient. It's found needing and wanting something. Your days are here. I'm weighing your life and you're out of balance. You're out of balance. So let's take these things and approach them to us. I already said that your days are numbered, but how many of us are living life out of balance? Out of balance. And so I know I am, and I know you are probably as well. So if we went ahead and said our lives are being weighed, will we find our life is in perfect balance with what God wants, or we find out it's way out of balance somewhere else? And that, therefore, my life is wanting, is in need. You see, there's so many times that I feel in life, like you ever see those guys who spin plates on like variety shows? How many feel like that sometimes? You're spinning plates, or you're like the guys who juggle, and they juggle like tons of stuff. And how many feel like that's your everyday? When that alarm hits, you're like, you're spinning stuff, and you're like, you know, whatever you have. Many of us exist like that, and we think it's a good thing. We think it's a really good thing. And then often, when we end up in situations that everything looks good and we're keeping the plates going, in our own nature, we feel like we're wanting something, we're missing something in life. And when this happens, some bad things also happen. In other words, we get the life sucked right out of us. How many have ever said, it sucked the life right out of me? Okay. I remember when I was in seminary, if you go to seminary, I wouldn't say this is a good manner, but I have a pattern of opening my mouth and inserting foot. And they had a professor who wrote one of the books that we had for seminary in preaching class. And he came to the seminary and began to speak to us. And he was from Princeton Theological Seminary. Mm-hmm. Ivy League. I'm Jack from Cecil County, Maryland. And so they had this pattern where you had to take one, you had 4 pages of preaching. So what you would do is, it was kind of his idea that during the week you would make one page and you would do this, and then the next day you would do this page and you do another one, and after you had the fourth day, then you would compile it. So it was like a whole week thing on preaching. And number one, who has time for that? Number two, I didn't like it. So I sat there, and I was arguing with I was kind of joking around. She was pretty cool, my professor at the time. But this guy's here telling us this greatness of his process for preaching. Which, hey, if it works for him, fine. And he's from Princeton. Keep that in mind. And I'm from where? There you go. Thank you. So we're sitting there, and it's a room full of people, and they ask for questions. And so I raised my hand. Sorry, I had to do it. And I said, I got a question. How do you do this? Because I got to tell you, your method sucked the life out of my preaching. Now, he looked at me, and my professor started laughing. And he said, well, I'm sorry it sucked the life out of your preaching. I said, but, and then he went through there, and I guess I never saw them again. Probably a good thing. But it's not good to, when somebody has an idea, to just tell them that what they give you sucks the life out of them. But if we are real, there are things that we experience in life that just completely suck the life out of our lives. There are people that do that as well. That's a whole other sermon, all right? But let's look at this. So what are some of the bad things that happen when they just suck the air out of us? I'm going to give you a couple things there, and then we're going to go into some other things, how to catch our breath. What happens, some bad things that happen when we're living on that air for yesterday. Have you ever tried to go ahead and talk without taking another breath? Like you say, hey, how are you? How are you doing? Well, I'm fine. I'm good. Right? That's how we live life many times. So what's one of the things that happens? The first thing that happens is we have the risk of sinning options increases. Okay, the risk of sinning options increases. When I'm tired, my resistance is lower. You notice how when you're really tired, you get sick? You notice that? The sleep is recuperation for the body. And that's why when we're sick, often we're out. Okay, because our body needs to rest and be recuperated. Many times, we don't end up in that pattern because we're just going and going and going. And I've known people who have gone ahead and kept going, and they get sicker. And they get sicker. I know one friend who I coached with one time got bronchitis, and then after bronchitis, it got worse. It got to pneumonia. And he was dealing with that from August, started in August when he had no sleep, till the point when it was November. Okay, he dealt with that back and forth because he did not have the rest that he needs. We deal with this a lot. And what we find out is when we are tired, you notice how Satan never comes to us when we actually have just had this on-top mountain experience with God, and that the worship service moved us in so many special ways that we just have said, we start singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And when we're at the point, we've been on a retreat, and we just like are so connected to God, and we're like, yes, Satan doesn't hit then. He usually hits then when we're tired, when we lose our job, when we're broke, when we have relationship issues, when we're beginning to waver in our trust of God. That's when he hits. He hits all the time in our weakness. And so when we are down, and when we don't take time, and when we're burning the candle at both ends, what ends up happening is that's when we are most susceptible to Satan's attack. And it happens. Like, for instance, I did some research this week on mudslides. Okay, we don't have a lot of them around here, but there's certain areas like in California, also I hear Colorado, that they will have mudslides. And honestly, the worst type of rain for them is not a drenching rain that goes by. It's the one that just keeps on raining a little bit, kind of like misty today, but just keeps on going. And what they found out, and you can put this in your head from back when we had the wind and rainstorms and all that kind of stuff, what begins to happen is the reason why they have these mudslides in California is because there's a hill, and when the ground becomes saturated, it just shifts. It's weak. And what they talk about is when the ground has so much saturation, it becomes what they call destabilized. And there's many of us who are so saturated by the stuff of life that we become desaturated, and our life begins to shift and move and go off. So when we are destabilized from being saturated, we end up with this problem. Jesus warned us about this in Luke chapter 21. Look at what he says here. Be careful. Everybody say, be careful. Be careful. Or your hearts will be weighed down. Look at that. He particularly goes not to the extensive stuff, but your hearts will be weighed down. You'll be messed up. It's not just the activity, but it's the effect that it has on our hearts. And he says, with dissipation. In other words, that's sucking the life out of you. By what? But with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly, like a trap. It's the anxieties of life when our life is out of balance. It's not the activities that cause us to end here and to just slide like a mudslide in our life. It is the anxieties of life that have affected and attacked our hearts. All right. In Job, excuse me, let's go to the next one. That's number two. Number one. Number two is, my emotions are all over the place. My emotions. How many think that you have like sometimes have emotions that just kind of like are erratic? All right. Have you ever noticed when you're more tired, you're more frustrated, when you're tired and worn down and when your life's out of balance, that the little things set you off majorly. The more angry you are, the more mean you are, the more quick, like just somebody can walk into the room and you want to bite their head off and spit it back at them. You know what I mean? You're just a nasty person. Anybody think you're nasty at times? Do I have to ask the person who came with you? All right. So you're just nasty at times. I know Melissa knows, like, when it's like a busy week. She says, yeah, because you've been a little bit nasty. I said, no, I haven't. I'm not nasty. You are. Don't we? Right? Isn't that what we do? Everybody else is nasty but us. And like, for instance, on the road, I mean, like, I think if you're like me, we all have a sense of road rage. And if you don't, you're the one who causes road rage, just to let you know. On the way here for this message today, I got behind some of the slowest people on God's green earth. They were in a Silverado. I called them Silver Dum Dum, just to let you know. And then I was just infuriated. My daughter thought it was funny. I was aggravated. I tried to do it jokingly, but I was aggravated. I'm like, I'm going to preach a sermon about being overworked and having anxiety because people on the road, get out of the way. Right? So, I mean, it's part of my demented nature, okay? I don't like this sermon, just to let you know, okay? But it is that pace of life. We get so, people I've never met who could be the most awesome people in the world frustrate me to death in life, to the point where I'm not bothering them at all. They're just like, nice day, lovely day. And they are so, so aggravating. I start yelling, where'd you get your license? Sears and Roebuck. Who's driving, all kinds of bad stuff, sorry. But, you know, here's an idea. If I'm going to get behind somebody that, and I don't care what it is, whenever I am running late, someone is always slow in front of me. Here's an idea. Ready? Leave earlier. It ain't about them. They were probably on the road an hour before me the way they drive. So... So chances are, if I left at least a half an hour earlier, I'd miss them because they'd be 2 hours behind me. You know what I mean? You see, our issue is not the activity and the stuff. The issue is our lifestyle. And if you're like me, I don't like this at all. I like to be busy. It has me not think about the stuff I got to think about in my life. And so when we look at this, our issue is our busy lifestyle. And Job understood this. Look at what Job says here. How many of you can relate to the statement from Job? My days go by faster than a runner. They fly away without my seeing any joy. If you can relate to that statement, you got to do something about it. If you just go through the day to get through the day and you hurry through the day and you fill it with one thing and then the next, and at the end of it, you say, I still have no joy. Something's moved, and it isn't God. I'd say if you were put on the scales, your life is out of balance. We need a slower pace. Faster pace, less joy. Slower pace, more joy. And you know what we're going to do? We're all going to shake our heads and say yes in here, and then tomorrow we're going to do the same darn thing. Doesn't matter what I say here. It might make you feel good. Good. I'll make you feel good for a while. Yay. You walk out this door. If we don't apply any of it, we're still in the same boat wanting. Number three, I am not very productive. Here's the biggest lie that we have. We believe that if we do more and we're busier, we accomplish more. They have done studies and found out it is exactly the opposite. The more you do, how many of you say to yourself, oh, I'm good. I can walk and chew gum and type and, you know, watch TV and write a novel and whatever else I need to do all at the same time. I'm good. I can bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan and never let you forget you're a man or whatever that song is, right? I can do all that kind of stuff, right? And I got it. But we're still wanting. We're still wanting. You see, for instance, go ahead and take an axe that's dull and try to chop down a tree and give me a hatchet that's sharp. And I will beat you. You see, our lives have become dull because we keep going, and we don't take time to sharpen up our lives. You've got to take time away from chopping to sharpen. So many of us are chopping through life, and we say, why is this thing not going down? The first one of the 4,000 worked fine. And yet the person over there, oh, you're wasting time. And they're getting through more so because they're sharpening their lives. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 21. Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. In Proverbs 19, it says, a person in a hurry makes mistakes. How many of you ever tried to get something done? I know in school, when I tried to wait to the very last second to put a paper together, I put it in, and there's always some kind of mistake, right? Always some kind of mistake at all, because I always tried to hurry and get something done. Number four, I end up empty inside. I end up worn out. How many of you at the end of the day come in and go, and you look back at your day and I did this, I've said this and this and that, and then you say, still didn't do anything for me. I'm still empty inside. I'm unsatisfied. I did all this for what? For what? You know, it's interesting. Not one person on their deathbed wishes they would have done that list of things that we shared earlier. Not one person on their deathbed said, oh, can you get me a Big Mac before I go? Not one person said, can I watch some more of Murder, She Wrote? I don't know why you want to do that if you weren't on your deathbed, but anyway. So nobody says, please take me to the store so I can wait in line more. Oh, I lost my car keys. Help me go find them. Can I go to a wedding? I mean, come on. We don't do this. But we spend so much of our lives embedded in these things. So much so that we think that the more work or the more complicated our lives are, the better, but it's absolutely the opposite. The more empty we end up in times. It doesn't matter the task you've done. I've done several tasks in my life. Been a pastor, been a professor. I've been in marketing and PR. I've been in several different jobs in my life. And guess what? No matter how much I love the activity, there's always a time where I'm empty, when my life is out of balance. You know, when I used to work at Elk Neck State Park cleaning toilets. You do that for a couple summers. Wasn't the most exciting thing in my life. I have fun friends, but it was not like, hey, I want to do that. I was empty. But whatever you do, if you do it to the Lord and you got your life in balance, it's awesome. Because I remember when I was in outside sales for heating oil company. Yes, I did that too. That I remember that I was in this process to become a pastor. And I didn't look at that job as like, I'm just going to sell heating oil. I looked at it as a way to connect to people. And I remember one time I went to sell this couple over near Port Deposit a contract for heating oil service and all kinds of other things. And as I sat there with them, I know they had moved out. I think they were involved in law enforcement. We talked for a little bit, found out they were Christian. We ended up talking about Christ. I don't even know if I think I sold them something. I'm not even sure. But the main thing that we were talking about is finding a commonality in Christ. And we sat there. And before I left, we ended up joining hands with the whole entire family and praying. How many of us do that in our daily lives? You know, sometimes I think that happened more so as a oil salesman than it does when I'm a pastor. And there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with those areas in life. You see, in Psalm 39, verse 6, it says, we are merely moving shadows, and all of our busy rushing ends in nothing. The one who dies with the most toys dies. You know, now they even, if you have more toys you got to talk about, they'll charge you more to put your obituary in the paper. You see, burnout, we think burnout comes from the activity, and it's not about activity because there are some activities that are life-giving, right? There are some activities that just are like, wow, I had a chance to go and do, I had a chance to go on vacation, I had a chance to do, we went for a walk, we did this, and that's life-giving to you. There are other ones that take them away. So what is the difference? It's not about the activity, it's about the purpose in the activity. They've proven that if you feel like you have no purpose in what you're doing, that leaves you more and more empty all the time. It's been interesting over the years. I remember there was always people who were in the back areas of churches who kept machines going. They were often people who were, like when you would have special kitchen events, they were always there. They were people that would clean the church long before you paid people to do it. They were people that showed up every week and played music. They were people that taught Sunday school for 65 years and all that kind of stuff. They were there. And at times, you would see people who were very powerful people in their work world, and they were doing this menial task, and you would go, and at times I wanted to just say, hey, hey, sorry, we could probably get someone else to do this. And they were like, no, you don't understand. This is what I'm doing. This is what I love to do. You really love to clean the gum off the back of the pew or the pew seat? Yeah, I love it because it means I'm doing it for God. And they had this approach to life that was in balance, that what they were doing was for the Lord. And the rest of the week, they had to do that to put food on the table. But what they were enjoying was the purpose that they found, that this might somehow, by what they do, if they're teaching Sunday school, that somehow, some way, that somebody may hear the voice of God and change their lives. It's about having a purpose. And if I can say one thing to you, is that we all need to have an activity that connects to eternity. We need to make our life matter, not for stuff out here that we read about after we're dead, but we need to have our life matter for eternity and have people connected to that. You see, we need to find our purpose, and you can do so much more when you find your purpose in life. When you find your calling and you find where you're supposed to be, there is a perfect niche that fits there. It's like you're fitting together like a hand in a glove. Like, I found it, and now I can go ahead and do life. And number five, this is the worst one. I can't hear God. I want to give you a secret today. God is speaking. God never shuts up. All right? You may want him to shut up, but he never does. God is always speaking, continually speaking. All the time. But I'm telling you, you cannot hear God because of all the other voices in your ear. I'm going to prove this to you right now, okay? I'm going to turn off my microphone, and I'm going to say something, and at the count of three, I want everybody just to talk. Talk loud, talk about anything, talk to your neighbor, talk about the weather, how it stinks today. It was awesome. Okay, ready? One, two, three. All right, now you got quiet when I yelled, "Here I am." But I'm going to tell you, the scripture tells us God will not yell. God is not yelling for you to pay attention to him. But I was talking the whole time you were, and none of you heard anything. And I was saying God loves you, and God wants to have a relationship with you, and God is here. And not one person heard it, particularly in the back, because of all the other voices in our ear. This is how so many of us live our lives, day in and day out. God will not shout. It is a still, small voice. So we've got to lean into God and listen for him. That's not my notes. I thought that was rather creative. Not me, him. Okay. All right. So we need to learn this. Psalm 46, and here's what it says. Be still. Be still and know God. My youngest son, Judah, bounces around like a jumping bean. Like he's always, like he lives life on a trampoline. Bing, 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 bing. He's like a bunny. He runs, and he was feeling bad the other day, and he was like, he didn't know how to walk. Am I right? He's like walking. Why are you walking that way?
I don't know.
You see? It's true. It's true, right? That's why the kids are laughing. He acts that way because he jumps around. And sometimes I'll say, Judah, go do this. He'll run off. And he'll come back with something completely that I didn't ask him to do. What are you doing? I don't know. What'd you say? Look at me. Go get this. Okay. No. You know why he doesn't hear me? Because the whole time I'm talking, he's like, okay. Right? He's not still. You want to hear God, but you don't want to get still. You know, Fresh Air chapter 11, which we'll get to in a couple weeks, it talks, Pastor Hodges really talks about his own struggle with too much. And I can relate to it myself, as in many times over the last 22 years, there have been a lot of times, and a lot more than there should be, of times where I was out of my air. I was out of the air of the Holy Spirit. I was just like, I was on my death rattles, if you want to call that that way. And I was stressed, and I've been stressed, and it happens again and again. And each time, it's not because God moved, it's because my life is out of balance. Here's something that I found through something that Hodges said one time. I think it's awesome. Ready? If you take stressed, ready? Take stressed, the word stressed. How do you spell stressed? Okay, you flip that around. You have desserts. Isn't that cool? I should have given you Twinkies or something today, throwing them out. But so how many like dessert? How many like to be stressed? All right, flip it around. There you go. And you can have some desserts. I think that's funny. Okay, so how do we catch our breath? Everybody wants to catch our breath. Let's go to Mark chapter 6, which was read for us. Then because so many people were coming and going, this is the people coming to Jesus, that they did not even, the disciples, that they didn't even have a chance to eat. That seemed like some of your lives. So busy, so fast-paced, so hectic that you just don't have time to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a what kind of place? A quiet place and get some. Quiet and rest don't fit in the successful pattern of an American today, do they? No time to eat. They were too busy. You know, they were doing ministry. They were serving the people. Yet they didn't even have time to renew themselves. And Jesus said, this is not right. Stop. Doesn't mean the need stopped. Doesn't mean the stuff was there, wasn't gonna be there when they got back. But he said, come on. Eat something and go to sleep. Eat something and go to sleep. For us, we need, I believe God is telling us the same thing, that we need to do this. So I'm going to give you some biblical principles. I could have given you a 490, but about rest. It's a pattern throughout all of Scripture, rest. It's not an activity, but it's the situation of your heart and your soul to be at rest. And so I narrowed these, I kind of put these down to three areas. And I want you, here's what I want you to do. Here's your homework this week. Test them out. Test them out. Okay? The first thing is, you need to stop the continual quest for more. We need to stop the continual quest for more. We bought in the lie that more is better. Americans, I read this on a CNN website, that by studies, Americans, 50% of all Americans spend every single dime of their paycheck, if not more. There's about 100, the average is that many will spend 137% of what they earn. In 18 to 25-year-olds, if you're in that deal, pay attention. Here you go. 54% of you spend at least all your paycheck or more. 18 to 24. You guys are the good ones. You save a little bit. By the time you're my age, you'll enjoy life. Okay? But you are spending. They are gearing stuff for you to spend. I need more. I need more. I need more. I need more. 25% of those of the 96% of the 25% of that group said that spent all or more said that 96% of that 25 that are in debt said that they are stressed beyond matter and they never thought they would be in this situation. They overextended and they're done. You see, we're told that more is better. And so what we end up doing is we buy things we don't need with money we don't have for people we don't like in the first place. And so we do that. We want to impress those people and really could care less what they think, but some reason we care what they think. And so we get more and more and more. And before we know it, not only are we empty, but our bank account's empty. And then we're stressed. And then guess what? Guess who comes knocking at the door? Here I am, Satan. What happened to that fullness of life that God promised? In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6, it says, it is better. Everybody say better. Better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. You see, it's better. It's better. How many of you remember when, like, I was thinking about this when I was younger and just some things, and I remember, like, summers consisted of, you know, Judah asked me the other day, he said, what was the first video game you had? Was it Mario Brothers? I said, no, it was Pong. And I said, it was from Radio Shack because my dad was too cheap to buy the real one. All right? And Radio Shack, when you bink, bink. And you could play hockey too. Everybody here is here for hockey, right? All right. So squash and all that stuff, but it still was a little blip, blip. If I pull that out now, they say, what is this? Okay? It was Pong. But most of the time, we didn't stay inside playing that because there was one TV that was color television that if I Jill made it downstairs first, we watched Brady Bunch all day. If I made it down first, let's hear it for Gilligan's Island. Yeah. And Dad would come in and yell, why does he always say Gilligan, Gilligan, Gilligan all the time? Go away, Dad. All right, you know. And we had the black and white TVs in our room. Remember those? And they were about this big. And so if you heard the other Jill get out of the bed, it was a race down the stairs. And it was like, eh. It was like the old roller derby. Bang, bang, to get to the TV. All right? But most of the time, we would do something like called go outside and play in the dirt. Now, dirt for you young people, it's a thing on the ground that grass grows out of. All right? We don't know what dirt is. Remember you come in and like you would get a bath and like there was, it looked like mud in the tub because you were outside all the time, all day, and you and your friends just had like, you look like Pigpen from Peanuts cartoons, you know? I mean, it was what you did. I remember riding my bike all over the place. Not for exercise because I want to lose weight. Again, because that's how I got from point A to point B. Because my dad certainly was not, and my mom were certainly not going to run me all over God's green earth, were they? Anybody else with me in that one? I was talking to somebody at the Little League field. Remember jumping in the back of my coach's pickup truck and driving somewhere. Now, we were pretty stupid, and we'll give that, but still, can you imagine that now? But it was just, you had fun, and you knew people, and you just existed. And then I remember with my grandmother sitting around, and how many of you know how to snap some beans? Right? Remember sitting there for hours, just psh, psh, popping around there, snapping beans. And then we would chat. Not this. Bink. We would talk to each other. We would talk. How many get texts sometimes that you're like, I'm calling? Let's just talk sometimes. It's okay to talk. It's okay to talk. Nowadays, we think that more is better. More is better. If I have one day that my kids aren't involved in school activities or sports or band or whatever, then I'm going to go ahead and get them in the, Children of the American Revolution. I'm going to throw them in there so I can suck up that other day because I got to keep them in there because all my kids are going to be Olympic athletes, and all my kids are going to be Rhodes Scholars, and all my kids are going to be this because I'm going to get them so much. But you know, sometimes I've seen that some of those kids have been involved in so much stuff they haven't had time to breathe that by the time they get to this point, they can't stand it. And they're missing out on the true nature of life is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. All the other stuff is good, but it's not greater than God. And believe me, I love that my kids are involved in that stuff. I love that I coach that stuff. I love that I've been involved in special groups. But I love the fact more than anything that my kids know Jesus. And I hope that they do. I hope that they make that choice for themselves to continue in that for the rest of their life. You see, there are churches that are out of bounds. Churches that want to do programmatic things all the time, and they want to do gimmicks and other kinds of things to get people into church. And I got to tell you, I'm not a gimmicky kind of guy. I just don't have gimmick. I could if I wanted to, but I'm not a gimmick kind of guy. I just believe that here's Jesus, accept him or not. And the thing is, you know, like we've done some like things about fundraising. We've done some things like when we did this building, but we didn't get a corporation to come in, and we didn't have Jack sitting on a dunk tank and drown the preacher or whatever you want to call it or whatever. But I will tell you what we did. We said, here's the need, and you guys have met it. There's needs now that we could do, and we will spend whatever you bring in for the kingdom of God. I would love to win the lottery, but you got to play, they tell me, before you win it. And if I did, man, it would be awesome. But God knows that he's always met with me that he wants people to give. And when I give to you, Jack, I want to see that you're faithful with. It reminds me of a pastor one day who the church was in financial troubles, and he stood up and he said, if you will give $1,000, I will let you pick out three hymns. A lady grabbed her checkbook, was running down the aisle, writing, ripped it off and said, here you go, pastor. And he looked at her and she said, I'll take him, him, and him. So, see me after church. Jim's the treasurer if you want to go ahead and give for that. All right. That's an old one. That's a real old one. So, you see, you notice how it's easier to get into something than to get out of it? Look at this verse from Proverbs. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. You see, it's, as I said, it's some of us need to practice this two letters. Ready? No. It's okay to say no. So say, like some of us, you ask people, how you doing? I've been just really busy. I've not had anybody in a long time just come up to me. I am doing absolutely nothing now. It is awesome. I love nothing. What are you doing? What are you doing? Nothing. Because what happens if we say that? Mess with somebody this week. They come up to you, even if you're busy. Mess with them, and they say, how you been? Good. What have you been up to? Nothing. It's awesome. Nothing. And they'll go, you're lazy, right? That's where we go to. No, I'm full. Because I had time to stop and refill. Today, I was judging. I had to fill up my car with gas, and I was like, do I get gas in it, or do I try to make that journey? And so I was running late to get here because I decided to stop because I didn't want to push my car this morning. So many of us are just seeing if we can make the journey on our fumes that we've got in life. We got to stop doing that. We got to stop doing that. It's easier to get into things. You know, it's easier to get into trouble than out of it. It's easier to get in relationships than get out of them. It's easier to gain weight than lose it. Number two, keep the Sabbath day holy. This is, you notice the Ten Commandments are not the demandment. I'm going to say that again. They're not the demandment. A lot of us think that God is demanding that to make us miserable. These are things to make our life full and abundant and better. You notice that it is keep the Sabbath, not hour, not the 2 hours. Keep the Sabbath day. Not just fit in stuff and say, whew, check that off, did my God for the week. You see, Sabbath, actually, Shabbat actually means to cease, to stop. Stop. Technically, the pattern of Scripture is this. You work 5 days for your boss. You have 1 day for you. And you have 1 day for God. You see, but often what we do is when we have that, we work whatever days for the boss, when we have that 1 day for God, we make that God in our day. And you know, when we don't set aside a day for God and we share that day with God, we make ourselves God. We say, I'm God because I'm going to do this day the way I want to, the way I need to. And that's not good. Many of us need a Sabbath day checklist to say, how am I doing? How am I doing as a father? How am I doing as a husband? How am I doing as a pastor? How am I doing as a worker? How am I doing as a friend? And just check down that list and use that time and that day to just reevaluate ourselves and say, and then after that, don't just check and feel horrible after you've gone through that, but then look and say, God, I'm going to give this before you. What can I do better and how can I do it better? And just lift it before him. In Exodus, it says, you have 6 days in which you are to do work, and on the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to me, straight from God. Proverbs 10:27 says, reverence for God adds hours to your day. So guess what? You take time for God, you're going to get some extra hours. How many need some extra hours? It's cool. And the third thing, stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Psalm 23, it's one that we all know. If you've been to a Christian funeral in the last 10 years, you've heard it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. You see, as a shepherd, he takes care of your needs. He guides you. What else does it say here? I'm not wanting. And then what does it say here? What is the next thing it says? He what? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quieter still waters. My dog, her name's Baby. She's an Aussie, Australian Shepherd, and she's hyper. Like if somebody pulls in the vicinity, she's like, and she's like reading it all out, and when she sees somebody, she flips out. She used to, when she was a puppy, she used to pee when you came in because she was so excited to see you. That's the effect I have on people, all right? But she comes in, and so when somebody's coming in and she hears it, she's barking. Barking, barking. She's going, running around, jumping to the, here, going this. And what I tell her, Baby, go lay down. Baby, calm yourself. Lay down. Lay down. When she's nervous and not sure, but lay down. That's what I tell her. I believe that God is telling you today, lay down. Sit. Lay down. Roll over. Good boy, right? That's what God is telling all of us today, because we don't lay down. Some of you will feel guilty if you go home and assume the position and go, today. It's okay. It's okay. You need that. You need that. It's he wants. What? Why does he want you to lay down and lead you beside the quiet, still waters? To do what? Restore your soul. You're running on empty. You're running on empty. This is not the fullness of life. In order to fill up your tank, you got to stop at the gas station. You got to stop and get filled up. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for it's gentle and humble of heart. I could go into a whole thing about yoke. But then he continues, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He wants to give rest for your souls. Yesterday, for the first time in a while, because of weather and just because of laziness, I've been mostly running in inside a gym on some kind of equipment. And so yesterday I decided to do something I hadn't done in about a year or so, and I got myself together and decided to go running outside. And I was just thinking about this next verse and thinking about the concept of this. And it says this, it's from Isaiah 63. It says, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord, and this is how you guided your people to make for yourself a glorious name. And when I thought about that verse, I recognized that the word for spirit simply means wind or fresh air. That you were given rest by the fresh air of the Lord. That we need to have that. And that's how he's going to guide you in your life. And in the moment of this, I was thinking about Sabbath and how it meant to stop. And here I am, I'm running in the Rising Sun area, and they've graded the road, and there's all kinds of stuff. And I just had God tell me, just stop. I had headphones in. He told me just turn them off and just take them out of my ears and just stop right on the side of the road. It popped in my mind. Somebody wonder what in the world is going on with that fool. But I was standing there, and I just stopped. And when I did, you know, I'm sweating to death. And there was like a gentle breeze that was just blowing. It was just going. And I was getting weary because I hadn't done some of this stuff before. And what I recognized is when I stopped, I got my second wind. And I got enough strength to be able to continue the 4.5-5 miles ride. Yay! All right? To be able to finish that run. And then I also noticed that when I was running facing traffic because I don't want to get hit, that when the cars would come, they would have a breeze that pushed me. That was harder to go. But when I was running with the natural wind, it shoved me past them. Today, the Spirit of God wants to shove you past all that stuff that comes at you in your life. If you'll just be able to stop sometimes and be still and know him and know God. So my last thing here for you is this. Our principle number two this week is this. Slow down. Slow down. It's okay. Work's going to be there tomorrow. Slow down. Those problems that you're going to have are going to be there. Slow down. Slow down. So what I want to do right now, I'm going to ask our worship team to come. I want everybody else to just stop. Just stop. Don't shuffle. Don't get papers. Right now, many of you are like, oh, you're already making your list right now. You've heard a sermon about slowing down, and we're already saying, here's what I got to do, and I got to get to, and I got to. If you hear it, it matters nothing. Remember, I gave you three things for homework. And I'd love for you to be posted all week on social media. Oh my gosh, what are you doing today? Nothing. So let's pray. Please stand. God, as we just stop. Stop it all. In this moment, let us hear your voice. You're speaking, but you're not yelling. God, I want to hear you more clearly. And I can't just say, God, please stop my busyness, because he said, you stop. Lay down. But I can't, God, because, you know, I got this, I got that. If I don't do, and then we'll have, and lay down. Lay down. I don't want to minimize anything anybody's going through, God, but right now, as we come to your son's name here today, there's a lot of us who are trying to run through life's journey on the last breath that we have. And we're running out. There's nothing that we do in life that just continues on and on and on and on and on and on without a stop. Some of us may be in a position right now, God, that we took a job that is financial for us. It allows us to live a lifestyle that we have. And we're empty. And every day, yeah, when the paycheck comes, we feel great. But every day, we're empty. And then we're saying, God, you need to help. And we said, and you're just telling us, just stop. Stop. Come to me and let me restore your soul with the calling that I have. Because God, many of us are just doing things in life that have no purpose. And we're not going to stop, because if we stop, then we have to think about what's going on. So God, right now, I pray that you'll just call people wherever they are to just lay down. And as they begin to hear the voice of the Master, just calling, say, just lay down. Much like my dog, when she finally gets still and lays down, it's just me and her. And I say, come here. She jumps up and she lays her little head down. And I begin to pat her on the head. And if I stop, she's like, give me more. God, let us stop so that we can feel your presence again. Let us stop so that we, and then if God, if it feels like it's getting away from us, let us just nudge you again and say, come on, more, more. None of this stuff matters when we're on our deathbed, so why should it matter when we're in our life? Hear us, God, now. We need you. We need you to tell us to lay down, and we need to lay down our lives. That's what this is about, laying down our life and getting our life in balance. God, I pray that in the next weeks and months, as we embrace this fresh air principle, as your Holy Spirit breathes new life into us, that if we put our life on the scales today and then we look at it in a couple weeks, that we can say, I'm getting better in balance. I'm getting better in balance. God, there's somebody who's in the sound of my voice that is like, okay, what is this Jesus about? Just about that we missed it. He became all that we've done wrong. He paid that price for us, and he just wants to offer eternal life and a relationship. Let them open their hearts and say, okay, God, let's do this. Let's just have you go in. And God, I don't know what else to say. I'm just going to shut up and let you go ahead and in the stillness of this room and in the worship, speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Will be thrown into the midst of the sea. this world. And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name.
Thank you, Lord, just for moving your presence in this place and in each of our hearts and lives. God, just weigh us and help us just take a look so that we get our lives in balance and so that we can, instead of being stressed, have lots of desserts. Everybody says amen, right? Lots of desserts. All right, so next week we are going to be in week 3. Again, you can still get the book. You can still connect and be part of a small group. That would be awesome. Next week, the Tude. Everybody say the Tude. All right, we're going to talk about attitude next week. See you next week. Have a great week.